2.5 hours. That's how long it took to get the first mention of the Universal Championship match from last night's Hell in a Cell. It's almost like it never happened. The first 2.5 hours on tonight's Monday Night Raw. They realized that the finish was so offensively bad, they didn't want to risk the crowd shitting on their show tonight, so they held off acknowledging it as long as they possibly could. Outside of a video package late in the show. There was nothing else about it on the entire program. No follow-up, no nothing. And they kept Seth Rollins off the show, you would think, to sell the injuries at the end of the pay-per-view. Either that or, the more likely explanation, to avoid him getting booed out of the building. Can't hide him forever. Now, earlier today, WWE tweeted and then deleted. They pulled the old tweet and delete. The announcement of a rematch between Rollins and The Fiend for the Universal title at Survivor Series. No champion versus champion this year, which is I'm fine with. I think it's played out. It doesn't lead to anything. There's no titles on the line. We don't need champion versus champion. And whoever Brock faces, he's going to beat them anyway. So what difference does it make? I'd much rather not see him beat The Fiend. So had The Fiend won the championship last night, I wouldn't want a champion versus champion match anyway. So it looks to be Rollins and The Fiend part two. They're actually going to go through with this again. And if they don't want to put the title on Wyatt, I have no idea why you would do that match again. But they deleted the tweet, and so who even knows if that's the plan anymore? The left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. You know, it's like, what do the five fingers say to the face? Slap. Which is what I wish I could do to Vince McMahon right now. The dude is still jacked, though, so he could probably kick my ass. But I would just sneeze on him. I hear he really hates that. This is your Sound Off Extra brief review for Monday Night Raw, the post-Hell in a Cell edition of Monday Night Raw from Bakersfield, California. I'll check the Raw poll later. But the Hell in a Cell poll from last night was the biggest poll that I have ever posted on Twitter. Over 7,000 votes and counting. There's still another day and a half or so people can vote. Over 7,400 votes, just 9% thumbs up, 91% thumbs down. And the people actually defending what WWE did last night, the WWE defenders, they make me physically ill. The way that they twist themselves into a pretzel to justify and defend every little detail. There is no defense. So this show opened in a little bit of a unique way. It took all of 1 week, by the way, for them to ditch the pyro. They went right into a beatdown, Randy Orton and King Corbin beating down Rusev in the ring. This after they recapped the wonderful angle from the week before involving Rusev and Bobby Lashley and Lana. Again, they didn't open with anything about the championship match. They opened with this angle. And Rusev being beaten down, having to fight the two off all on his own. It was supposed to be Rusev and Randy Orton. We never got Rusev and Randy Orton. And this was just to build to Bobby Lashley on the video screen, supposedly in Rusev's bedroom, wearing Rusev's robe, laying in Rusev's bed, about to fuck Rusev's wife. Lana comes in, talks about how she changed the bank accounts. They're no longer joint bank accounts. She basically wiped out Rusev, and Lashley said, you shouldn't have been sending money back to your relatives in Bulgaria. You should have been spending your money on Lana. And Lana takes her bra off. We can't see, of course, what's on underneath. Unlike Lita that one time during the live sex celebration where they showed a little too much. We didn't get that here. And the screen cut to black. Leave it up to your imagination what happened next. They played cards. So this angle is continuing. Guess they're trying to get sympathy on Rusev. People like Rusev. They do like Rusev. I just don't give a shit about this angle. Don't care. Don't care. If they build an angle where eventually Lana and Rusev are to be reunited, it will hardly be Savage and Liz. Because, you know, it just sort of came out of nowhere. And this is just a typical, you know, soap opera type bullshit. That's very hit or miss. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I'll speak for myself on this. I don't care about any of this. We've got Natalya and Lacey Evans. Last woman standing match. This thing went over 15 minutes. I cannot bring myself to care about anything Natty does on TV. I'm sorry. I can't. This was match number four, match number five. I've lost count between these two. I thought last night at the pay-per-view felt like a blow-off on the pre-show, where Natty got her revenge and she tapped out Lacey in the sharpshooter. I thought that was it. Silly me. So Lacey basically beat the crap out of her the entire match, brawled up onto the stage. Natty powerbombed her through a table that was set up on the side of the stage, about a foot and a half of the way down. Lacey could not get up before the count of 10, and Natty wins again. You would think that's the end of the feud? Who knows if they'll even be on the same brand next week. We had the Street Profits. They were in the back, and I'm not going through every single segment on this show, but I had to bring up the Street Profits. I like the Street Profits. I like the Street Profits everywhere I've seen them, except Monday Night Raw. I hate the Street Profits on Monday Night Raw. This is what they've done to me. They've turned me against the Street Profits. They give them the corniest shit to do on this show. They've become the narrators of Monday Night Raw. And tonight was even worse because they were doing a preview of the draft. They had Angelo Dawkins do some kind of lame 40-year-old virgin joke about Drake Maverick that got no reaction. They left a few seconds to kind of get a reaction. No reaction. I hate what they have done with the Street Profits on this show. The Viking Raiders, they beat the Raw Tag Team Champions Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode. 16 minutes of this. Nothing overly exciting about it. Next week, they're going to challenge them for the tag team titles. That's assuming that they even end up on the same brand after this draft. Aleister Black, look who decided to reappear tonight. Look who they finally brought back to the show. Aleister Black has been MIA from TV now for weeks. But there's a draft coming up, so they had to remind all of us that he's still employed. So they put him in there with the Singh brothers. Back to being, I guess, the Bollywood boys. From 205 Live. This ended exactly as you would expect. But he did debut a new modified Dragon submission, or Dragon Sleeper, I should say, submission hold. So now he's got more than just one finishing move, which is great. You know, it reminds me of Sheamus, and the reason I bring up Sheamus is I would make the comment about Sheamus years ago that the one thing I liked about him, even if I wasn't a big Sheamus fan, and I warmed up to the guy over time, but he always had four or five different moves, six moves in his arsenal. He had a good mix of moves. You know, it wasn't like he just relied on one or two big moves, big boot, and that was it. There was some variety in his arsenal. So there's nothing wrong with debuting a new move. I didn't have an issue with that. I just hope that when the draft comes and goes, wherever he lands, they'll finally do something with Aleister Black. Instead of putting him over two people and then dumping him into the abyss somewhere. Yeah, the thing is, like, when you build somebody up, you give them a series of wins over different people, right? And they started to do that with Black. You know, he had the little feud with Cesaro, and after that, I can't even remember. I mean, was it just the Cesaro thing and then he vanished? I honestly don't remember if he actually had any kind of little mini feud with anybody after Cesaro. I have no memory of one. Maybe he had one, but that just goes to show you that I don't remember what it was. And that's the point. When he vanishes. Oh, sorry. So he went over Cesaro. They had a nice little feud. So what? Whatever momentum he started building was squandered. Don't squander that with Aleister Black. He could be one of your top guys. Doesn't feel that way right now, but he could be. Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio was in a sling. He was in the back. He's still recovering from the ass kicking he took at the hands of Brock Lesnar the week before. He revealed that Cain Velasquez is Walter Mysterio's grandfather, godfather. Yes. Now, Cain Velasquez. What is wrong with me? Yeah, it's funny. I had a note here. I was going to actually take a little dig at Jerry Lawler because later in the show he referred to Braun Strowman as Braun Strayman. And I said, Lawler has no idea what he's talking about. Apparently, neither do I, being that I just called Cain Velasquez Dominic's grandfather. Now, he's his godfather. That would be quite the family tree if he was his grandfather. He's his godfather, which is why he stepped up to defend the honor of the Guerrero family. against Brock Lesnar. At least they tried to give some kind of an explanation here. I don't believe he's actually his god, but maybe he is. Sounds like they just pulled that out of their ass. OC beat the Lucha House Party. See, finally, someone the OC can actually beat and look tough against. AJ Styles is, he's the U.S. champ, but he's such an afterthought on this show. But hey, you know what? He's got himself a fat new 5-year contract. It's basically his retirement plan. Good for him. Get that money. They had Miz TV with Charlotte and Becky Lynch, the Raw Women's Champion, SmackDown Women's Champion together in the ring. The Kabuki Warriors, the new Women's Tag Team Champions, they came out. And Becky pointed out that she had unfinished business with Asuka. So nice of them to finally acknowledge that Becky lost to Asuka 9 months later. She could have popped out a kid in the amount of time that went by here before they actually thought to bring this up. So we had a match. Asuka blew green mist in Becky's face. Kyrie rolled her up and pinned the Raw Women's Champion. Charlotte went after Asuka and Kyrie when the match was over. Alexa and Nikki came out to make the save. So apparently there seems to be like they're in line for a rematch. I thought there were no automatic rematches. They better not. They better not. Charlie Caruso's in the back. She's interviewing Apollo Crews. Who could possibly care? And I hate even saying that because Apollo seems like a very nice guy. I used to be high on him a long time ago. And this is what WWE does. They beat whatever is in these guys. Whatever bit of excitement you may have to see them or potential and hope they may have when you first see them in NXT, they just beat it out of them. I see Apollo Crews on my screen. I reach for the remote. He's talking about his upcoming draft showcase match with Ricochet. Ricochet did an interview with Sarah, what's her name? Sarah Schreiber in the back. So they had a match. Good little match for what it was. And Ricochet won in the end. They were talking on commentary the entire time. Ricochet won with the recoil, by the way. But they're talking on commentary about how they're pitting the two networks now against each other. They're talking about Fox executives and USA executives and how they're all clamoring. They want to, you know, get the best draft picks. And they're talking about Apollo Crews and they're watching intently. It's like, yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm sure that Fox and USA executives, if any of these Fox and USA executives have been watching this television show for any time in the last 2 years, I'm sure they're just clamoring to fight to the death to see who can draft Apollo Crews. So, I mentioned before Jerry Lawler going into the break before the final segment of the show, which was to be Tyson Fury looking for an apology from Braun Strowman for what happened on SmackDown last Friday. Braun is walking through the back. Actually, I think it was Tyson walking through the back. And Jerry Lawler mentioned Braun Strowman. He called him Braun Strayman or something like that. You know, I look at Lawler and I listen to him because he's a shell of what he used to be. And I know some people get that warm, fuzzy feeling when they hear him because he's the voice of their childhood, right? It was Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler, or maybe you're even a fan of his from Memphis. He's a shell of what he used to be. Or at least what they let him to be, what they allow him to be. And we just had him on his own podcast last week admit that he does not have fun doing commentary. It certainly shows. He's playing all the greatest hits. He's there to collect the paycheck and get back to Memphis each week as fast as he possibly can. So I can't blame the guy. And that was what this entire show was built around. Braun Strowman and Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury comes down to the ring. He talks well enough. He wants an apology from Braun Strowman. Braun comes out. They do the face-to-face. They jaw-jack back and forth. Tyson makes fun of the fact that he's never been a world champion like him. Braun Strowman, there you go. Another great example of WWE dropping the ball on somebody who had all the momentum in the world. At one time, he and Seth Rollins both were the two hottest acts, the two hottest baby faces, not just on Raw, but in the entire company. And think about that. This is going back, what was that, last summer? Summer of 2017 or summer of 2018? I forget. All these years seem to run together now. I remember a time when these two guys were the two hottest acts on the roster. And the only debate going into SummerSlam, this may have been last year, was who should be the one challenging Brock Lesnar for the championship. And I don't even remember who I was arguing for. I think I might have been arguing for Rollins at the time. But imagine that. Braun Strowman and Seth Rollins, the two hottest acts, the hottest stars in the entire company, and look at where we are now. Look at what they have done with Braun Strowman. He lost at every opportunity that he had at that championship. Seth Rollins now, I mean, what more can be said about him as champion, our beloved champion? This is what this company does. Whatever they touch turns to shit. It's like they don't know how to create new stars anymore. It's like they actively work against them. So they end up in a pull-apart brawl. Surprise, surprise, they end up in a pull-apart brawl. I guess the people who know who Tyson Fury is, and some people don't, but the ones who do, they may find this cool, and the company is doing it. They're going to get their press. They're going to get their SportsCenter moment. They probably already did last night, or Friday night. But this just comes off like discount Tyson and Austin, or discount Big Show and Mayweather. And not as good. So the officials are trying to keep them apart, and they keep coming back. And Braun goes to the back. He ends up coming back out. The wrestlers come out. They're trying to break them up. Back and forth we go. And that's how the show ended. And the big rumor is that they're going to have a match, not necessarily at WrestleMania, but at the event that's as big or bigger than WrestleMania. That, of course, being the Saudi show coming up on Halloween. I guess we'll find out. So we could very well end up with a Saudi Arabia show that has Tyson Fury against Braun Strowman and Cain Velasquez against Brock Lesnar. I how that's going to turn out? It may be a train wreck. Train wrecks aren't always so bad. But when I look at this company, when I look at the people in charge of this company and some of the things that they're doing and the decisions that they... I mean, you go back to what happened to Kofi on Friday, the way that, not so much that he lost, but the way that he lost. You know, this stupid angle with Lana and Lashley and Rusev, which they built the whole beginning of the show around. And this nonsense with The Fiend and Rollins from last night and all the fallout from that. These people are drinking stupid juice. Where are they buying this juice from? It's like they're all drinking the same thing here. They're all drinking the same Kool-Aid. Seeping into their brains. This show is fucking boring. More than anything else, I just thought this show was a total bore. I almost fell asleep two different times during this show. And so all of that being said, I felt like I had to do some kind of a review here. But all that being equal, the Raw poll, by the way, so far, over 2,000 votes already. 12% thumbs up, 88% thumbs down. And some of that are people who are still sour over what happened last night. But that's an awfully, I mean, that's a big gap. There's a lot of people who thought the same thing I thought tonight, that this show is a fucking bore. Save for maybe one or two things on a 3-hour show. This show was a snooze fest. You know what I would encourage everybody to do? This is my public service announcement here before I wrap up. If you are as disenfranchised after this past week of WWE television as I am, if you are angry about what happened at Hell in a Cell last night, if you were in a comatose state during Raw tonight, I encourage you all to do the following. Later tonight, I'm recording this now, it's early Tuesday morning. Later this evening, the NWA will debut its new Power Show on its YouTube channel at 6.05 p.m. Eastern Time. I encourage everybody to check it out and give it a shot. I've seen some of the video. It looks really cool in terms of having that authentic studio feel from the old NWA days and the Crockett days. And so, especially if you grew up watching that, I think you're going to get a kick out of this whole NWA revival. I don't know how the show's going to be, but I'm looking forward to checking it out. I encourage all of you to do the same. 6.05 Eastern. Also, later tonight on their YouTube channel, AEW is debuting its AEW Dark series, which is going to be a series of dark matches that were taped at the TV show last week. That's going to be a new weekly series hosted by Tony Schiavone. So those two things are debuting on YouTube today alone. On Wednesday, AEW has put together a card that will have Darby Allin against Jimmy Havoc, with the winner challenging Chris Jericho the following week for the AEW World Championship. The Young Bucks take on Private Party, AEW Tag Team Title Tournament match. Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara team up to take on Hangman Page and Dustin Rhodes. And Jon Moxley one-on-one makes his in-ring Dynamite debut against Shawn Spears. It's a pretty good card. Over on NXT, talk about a good card. We've only got two matches announced so far. One is Walter against Kushida, and the other is Drew Gulak defending the NXT Cruiserweight Championship, and it is now the NXT Cruiserweight Championship against Lio Rush, and that is going to be off the charts. I cannot wait to see that match. That may be the sleeper match of the entire week. My point is, and there's a lot more than just these shows. There's other promotions too, but my point is, there's going to be a lot of good wrestling this week, almost none of which came from Monday Night Raw tonight. This show was not worth your time. This show was as uninspired and as much of a paint-by-numbers effort as you will find, in large part, I'm sure, because none of it's even going to matter after the draft coming up later this week. I spent 20 minutes on this review. That was about 19 more than this show deserved. If you know somebody who happens to suffer from insomnia, it's a very serious condition, let them know that you have found the remedy for them. This show was no good. Hopefully AEW will be good. I'll be back here live on the channel for an AEW stream on Wednesday night and episode 621 of The Sound Off on all the usual platforms coming up this weekend. So until then, be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great week, and I will see you back here on Wednesday. Until then, take care, guys.